morning. Thank you, Nathan. Good stuff. Well, there it goes. That's why you get the apple care. You think I'm kidding. I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about some stuff I'm getting to tell you about. I'm also excited about the message in general. I'm just excited. So let me share with you some stuff that's kind of going on. First off, we probably ought to start with this. The ushers are going to come. And for anybody that is a member of our church, you've been through 24 rush hour, you know Christ as your Savior, you've been baptized, that's the requirements of being a member here. If you're a member and you have been praying over the budget, we presented this a couple weeks ago. Part of our worship time today is that we're doing that. We're actually voting on the budget. And so you've seen that, you've gotten a look at that. It's a stepping out, leap of faith thing. We're feeling God leading us to do this. It's not crazy, I don't think. I think it's what God wants. That's what I've really felt led and have even had things this week confirm that God has done that I just know. But anyway, we've got ushers that have got the little ballots to vote, you know, vote yes or no, and it says, you know, I've prayerfully considered this or whatever. But if you are a member and you've been able to vote on this and look at it and pray over it and all that kind of stuff, they're going to go ahead and you guys go ahead and come on up. And if you're a member and you need one of those, just raise your hand and you're gonna turn that in later in the service and I'll, you know, give you later in service. Go ahead, everybody raise your hand, everybody at the same time, you know, that way nobody's out of place. You know, heaven forbid, I'm the only one on my row with my hand up. Oh my gosh, I'm a member. So they're bringing that and get that. And at the end of my message, we'll have a time where you can actually come and bring that and place it up here just on the edge of the stage. And I'll prompt you on all that and tell you, you know, when that is and everything. So we just really want that to be a part of our worship. It's not like some separate business meeting thing. It is what it is. So I'm excited about it. By the way, that means that like two more staff members are going to come on full time. I'm excited about that. I'm excited because it's been 5 years and I've been the only full-time guy. So I'm really excited about that. And I think I'm excited not just for my sake, I'm excited for the sake of the church as to see, you know, what comes out of that and how God uses those guys to, you know, further his kingdom. That's good stuff. So anyway, just awesome stuff. I need to tell you, this is pretty cool. We, you know, thank you. First off, if you adopted one of our Angel Tree kids, we adopted and have taken care of over 100 kids this year. That is awesome. That is good stuff. And that's because of you guys. That's been because of your heart. I had someone call me last week and talk to me after the service, and they said that their teenage son looked at them and said, when they left the service last week, they said, you know what, I want to, and I hope they don't mind me saying this, I'm not going to say names, but they said, this teenage boy said to his father, said, I don't want you to do anything for me for Christmas this year. I want us to take care of the Angel Tree kid. You know, it's just awesome to get to hear God moving in people's families like that. And, you know, and it's not that, you know, sponsoring an Angel Tree kid is like, you know, whatever, you know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just God's just moving and I see that, and it's moving to me to get to see that. I'm not crying this week, by the way. If you were here last Sunday, if not, you can hit the podcast. No. Was not planned last week either. First, Aaron actually asked me in the car on the way home, she said, did you cry in the first service? I was like, no, I didn't see that coming. I'd watched that video 10 times, you know, and didn't cry. And then here I am with you crying. Please forgive me. Stuff going on this week, some crazy cool stuff going on this week. I made mention last week that we're doing the rescue mission on a Wednesday. We are doing that. There's a couple things that we need to know. I kind of just like threw that out there about like, hey, let's everybody go. And then, of course, what's everybody want to do? Everybody's like, hey, let's all go to the rescue mission and let's take our families. And, you know, and it's awesome that our hearts are wanting to go that way. But they can't take us all. But there's this awesome thing already going on that we are already kind of steadily getting more and more to be a part of. There is a ministry on Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, there is a man from our church, Max Vick, and some other godly men that go downtown and feed homeless under a bridge. I mean, it is just straight up, you're outside. There's no, you know, there's no like going inside in the warm and all that kind of stuff. They're going to be feeding homeless folks out in the cold on Tuesday night. If you're interested in going to that, there is no cap on age to go with you. Now, you're responsible for your own children, so just watch after your kids. You are going to be downtown. You are going to be outside. You're going to need to dress warm. But that may be the more conducive thing for entire families to go do, because at the rescue mission, it's 12 and up. And I was just unaware of that, and you know, just hadn't thought that through when I was opening my big mouth last week. So if you want to go Tuesday night to feed homeless under the bridge, meet here at 2:45. No, 5. I'm sorry. I've got them backwards. Meet here at 5. And then if you want to go to the rescue mission, that is perfectly fine. We'd love for you to go. Our students are going to the rescue mission. And we are meeting here at 2:45 on Wednesday for the rescue mission. 5 on Tuesday to go under the bridge. 2:45 on Wednesday to go to the rescue mission. Okay, and we're actually going to be serving food at the rescue mission and holding the worship service. I'll be speaking, so they will have to deal with me. They've done it before. And so that's going on Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, Christmas Eve, we are having our very first Christmas Eve service this year. So pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Now, the Christmas Eve service is at 8 o'clock. Okay, it's a late one, you know, but honestly, that's the only way we could pull it together with the people that, you know, need to be involved with that because of their family stuff and everything. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of looked at everybody and was like, look, if this gets in the way of family stuff, for especially for staff members, I was just like, we won't do it. And so this was the way that it would work. And so I said, well, let's try it. We'll see how the response is. And so this year, first Christmas Eve service, 8 o'clock, be here. It'll be awesome. Be good stuff. And that's this week. So we got stuff Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Come hang with us. Come go, you know, with us and help, you know, feed some folks and take care of some folks and worship with us on Thursday night before Christmas. And I encourage you this week, take a second, take some time out. And spend some time with your family. Get your kids together. Read the Christmas story, not the one where, you know, he shoots his eye out, you know, but the one from the Bible, okay? The one from the Bible. And we're actually going to be looking at that today. So you'll have a little heads up and commentary ahead of time so that you can, you know, go back through it. So anyway, let me pray for us, and we'll get into this. God, I thank you so much for all the great things that you are doing in our church. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would just be faithful to you. God, I pray, Lord, that our faithfulness would be not just because you've asked us to, but God, because we love you and we want to do it. God, that it is our heart, that we love you because you loved us first. God, I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would be pure and they'd be right. God, give us clean hearts in this moment. Lord, if we need that, God, just help, you know, so that we can hear from you and hear through from your word. God, just speak to us. God, we ask this in your name, I pray. Amen. This morning, talking about the birth of Christ, surprise. And in talking about the birth of Christ, one of the things that I've been looking at and studying over specifically to the birth of Christ is the entrance that Christ makes into the world. Now, as a kid, I watched this television show growing up called Happy Days. Anybody watch the Happy Days growing up? For my generation, we caught it on Nick at Night, just so you know. Sorry. Just buzzkill on several people in the room. But I grew up watching Happy Days, and, you know, it had old cars and motorcycles and stuff, so it worked. I always remember main character on Happy Days is the Fonz. You gotta love the Fonz, don't you? And the Fonz always nails the entrance. I mean, it's like, maybe only better entrance might be Kramer on Seinfeld, but, you know, that's here or there. You know, the Fonz, though, had this entrance, like, every single time, like, you're sitting at the diner and everybody's, you know, Richie and all these guys talking and, oh, yeah, you know, and that, oh, that, yeah, well, whatever, I can't even come up with anything to say that they might say. I'm thinking about, like, poodle skirt. I'm like, how does that fit? That doesn't work. So anyway, but they're all sitting around, and then the Fonz comes in, and he's like, hey, You know what I'm talking about? Like he's got like this slide like thing. He's like, hey, you know, and I'm just like, thought, man, even though that show was, you know, kind of old, you know, even when I was watching as a kid, I was already like, man, he really is cool. He's cool. He's the Fonz. He can do that. You know, and so I remember as a kid, you know, maybe early elementary, I don't know, maybe high school, you never know with me. But I remember as a kid thinking to myself, like before I would go into a classroom at school, thinking, gotta make an entrance. I gotta nail this entrance into the classroom. And I'm thinking in my mind that you know, it ought to be like as legit as the Fonz. Like I'm coming in, it's like, hello, ladies. And I gotta tell you, I don't think I ever nailed an entrance into a classroom ever where like the ladies in the class are like, oh, look at him. Maybe, I don't know. I've probably got some ex-girlfriends around here that could say different. But anyway, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, just thinking back on the entrance thing and looking and studying the entrance of Christ into this world. And you know, we talk a lot about the cross and we talk a lot about the resurrection and we talk about the birth of Christ at Christmas, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking on it. And there's some things that have really, you know, God's really spoken to my heart about within this passage of scripture that we're going to look at today, these two passages that we're going to look at today that I think are worth noting and worth taking, just kind of heeding and going, you know, what is that? What is that about? And so I just even want to just kind of ask you a question. You know, what should your response, what should my response be to the birth of Christ? Now, first and foremost, without the birth of Christ, there is no cross and there is no resurrection. The purpose for Christ coming to earth is salvation. We got that. We know that. We talk about that a lot. And I want to just, you know, make that first and foremost. But beyond that, why was Christ's entrance the way it was? Now, I want us just to read together today about the entrance of Christ. And if you've got your Bibles, we're looking at Luke 2, chapter 1. This is the Christmas story so that you'll have it for later in the week. Luke 2, chapter 1, verse 1, and it says this. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first generation when, I always mispronounce this guy's name, the guy with the Q, was governor of Syria. I nailed it in the first service. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So we got Mary and Joseph, and they're traveling. And because of Joseph's family heritage, lineage, he had to go register in the city, you know, of Judea. He's got to go do this. And so they're traveling along and they're coming through, you know, coming through a little town here called Bethlehem because he was of the house and the lineage of David to be registered, verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, let me stop there, betrothed, because I don't want to lose anybody on this. This is like old school. This is like an engagement, like a legal engagement. In fact, when you betrothed somebody at that period of time, the only way to be unengaged was actually to get a divorce. It was, you know, it was like almost kind of like a pre-marriage thing. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But they were not married yet, okay? So this is kind of going on, but you're catching what's going on here. She was with child. They were not married, but she was with child. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And here, you know, we begin to see the creation of the picture that many of us have when we think about the birth of Christ. And we're assuming like Mary's on a donkey and he's, you know, dragging the donkey. And I don't know that we can say that for sure. You know, there's several things, several parts of the pictures that we see to the nativity sometimes that are not always there. There are some things that we do know that's there from studying the other Gospels and this Gospel and looking at this story. And one of the things is that we know for sure is that there was no room in the inn. The inn may have not been necessarily like your Howard Johnson or something here, but you know, it was definitely something maybe similar in the wording, the phrasing, and the actual word being used is actually the same wording behind when we see later on in Scripture the upper room, when we see the disciples and Jesus meeting in the upper room. So maybe, you know, they just had like one room in the house to rent or something like that. But anyway, no room in the inn. Where they did have room was wherever the animals resided. And so that's where they end up staying. And we know that for sure. And that may, you know, we have, you know, the usual barn scene. I remember we had the barn scene as a kid. You know, I had this nativity set and we had like an angel that hung on a nail up on top. You know, I don't know that the angel's like hanging on, you know, to the top of the barn or anything. We don't even know if it's a barn. I had like this green frog in my nativity for some reason. I don't know why. Just like stuck him in there and he stayed. And I would sneak in Transformers and G.I. Joe sometimes. That was cool. Optimus Prime behind the shepherds, just looking out for everybody. You know, just looking out, just saying. And so, you know, we've got this picture. Again, we don't know that it's a barn. It may not be a barn. It's, you know, there were people that back then that even their animals actually stayed in a part of the house, or it may have been a cave. And in fact, the cave scenario is probably more likely than the barn scenario. And so, you know, just for whatever it's worth, just to kind of get the picture, you know, again, we hang our hat on a whole bunch of stuff that we you know, assume and think, and, you know, oh, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. We're not even real sure when exactly Jesus was born. This is picked, and there's history behind that. Won't get into it, but, you know, it's some good stuff here. And when we see this, you know, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's wrapped up real tight in probably linens that were laying around. And that, you know, wrapped the same way that we wrap babies now, just as soon as they've been born, they wrap them up real tight so they kind of have that feeling of, you know, when they're in the womb and all that stuff. And so laid him in a manger, which is a feeding trough, because there was no place for them in the inn. And so, you know, again, I kind of going back to this, and I'm going, okay, this is the Son of God. I mean, this is the Son of God. I mean, if anybody gets to have an entrance, I mean, you'd think the Son of God could get, you know, he could have an entrance. I mean, basically, he could, like, make up any entrance he wants to. I don't know if you've ever been to Disney World, but they, you know, they do, like, the fireworks show and the whole thing, you know, every night. And you know, and like Tinkerbell swings down the thing, you know, and she's like, oh, look at Tinkerbell go, you know, and you know, that's an entrance. That's a crazy entrance. Jesus is born with no one around except Mary and Joseph, and then laid in a trough. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What's up with that? Why this entrance? The entrance that Jesus comes into this world on matches the lifestyle that he lives before us throughout Scripture. And that entrance is one of humility. I want to read a passage of Scripture out of Philippians chapter 2 with you. Philippians chapter 2, we have in verse 3, this is cool because this is Paul talking about humility, but he's actually also talking about the birth of Christ. And we'll catch both of these in here. But first off is you know, Paul speaking to us about how Christ has set the example in humility. In verse 3, it says this. It says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself, check this out, verse 7, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In verse 8, And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I'm just reading the rest of this because I love it. So that at the time of Jesus, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bam. Jesus enters the world in a barn, cave, some type of livestock scenario to be put in a trough, born to a very young couple. By everything that we can tell, Mary was probably a teenager. They weren't married. And I'm just thinking, you know, here's this scenario that I've seen, and I've seen churches actually just almost disown young people over. And I'm thinking, man, what would it have been like to have been Mary? Going down to the fish market, get some fish. I need a couple of those fish, bumping into your friend. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, we're doing good. How are you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Hey, looks like you're getting big. Did y'all go get married? No, not yet. Oh, okay. And then, I mean, just think about just to even try to explain this, like looking at your friend going, this is from God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Crazy. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. It sounds crazy. You know, Joseph and Mary had not even had sexual intercourse at this point. She was a virgin. An angel shows up to her. Go back to chapter 1. She's a virgin. And this angel comes to her and says, hey, you're going to carry the Son of God. Hello. And she's like, I don't even think that's possible because, you know, I'm a virgin. And the angel's like, no, this is covered. God's taking care of this. It's done. I mean, this whole thing is just one big, huge miracle. Born to this young couple. In the most humbling of situations. I mean, the guys that come to visit baby Jesus are, I mean, for the most part, I mean, let's take the shepherds. The shepherds are guys that are considered to be, that's considered to have been like a very lowly situation. Like that, it'd been kind of considered like shady guys of their time, so to speak. I don't know if they're like trading sheep, shady or, you know, what the deal is. But, I mean, it's kind of considered not to be that glorious of a thing and very looked down upon. But how awesome is it that God would take even just the role of a shepherd and use that role to help us in seeing how even a church might operate. How his bride would operate in calling pastors and elders to be shepherds. Verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I mean, Jesus' mission is to come and bring salvation. But while doing so, sets the example of what it looks like to be humble. And I ask you the question, you know, this is a question we all have to ask ourselves. Am I being humble? That's a tough question to ask. It's a tough question to ask. I mean, you know, you just kind of, you know, put it in the likeness of, you know, making ourselves small in size or putting others before ourselves or, you know, lowering ourselves in rank or status. Is that us? Are we humble? Do we put other people before ourselves? Are we so consumed with ourselves that's us? The shepherds come. Later on in Luke chapter 2. We're going back to that. And when we see the shepherds show back up in verse 8, and I want you to read this with me. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field." They're just out there doing their thing, hanging with sheep, keeping watch over their flock by night. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." Now, you know, here comes shocker number one. They get an angel in the middle of the night. "The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." They're scared to death. Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was an angel was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host, praising God and saying," check this out, "'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Now this is a much more accurate translation than, you know, "peace, goodwill to all men." You know, that's the friendly, world friendly, you know, everybody, you know, is having a hunky dory day version. This is, you know, the more literal translation of this. "And this glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And I want to go back. I want to just take a second here, because in verse 13, you know, where we see, you know, we've got this whole crazy, you know, we had an angel show up, and then on top of the angel showing up, now it's like the whole heavenly host. And I can't even paint that picture for you. I don't even know what that looks like. I'm pretty sure it's probably better than fireworks at Riverfront. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, and they're just out tending the flock. And all of a sudden, this is all going on in the sky, and they're just like, whoa. And they're praising God, and they're singing and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And why is that? Why is it, you know, peace among those who, you know, why is it just only those that he is pleased with have the peace? Let me tell you why. Because this is the same peace that we see Jesus say to those who come to know him. Catch this. That come to know him. He says to them, "Go in peace." Same peace. We can't get the peace without Jesus. And what he's saying is that glory to God, he is awesome in the highest. That's heaven, and that's on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this begs a question. Do you have the peace? Do you have the peace that Jesus says when he says, "Go in peace"? Do you have that peace? Do you have this peace? Are you at peace with God? You're like, "Well, I don't know." There comes a moment in our lives when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and says, "Hey, it's time. It's time for you to turn life over to me." And in doing so, we recognize that we have sin and that we need forgiveness and that we believe in what Jesus did on the cross and through resurrecting. And we say, "God, I need that. I need your forgiveness. I want you to take control." You know, and maybe you're here today, maybe you've never received Christ. Maybe you know, that's the first time you really ever heard that. You really ever understood that. Maybe you thought it was about going to church. It's not about going to church. The shepherds don't just watch this happen. They, of course, hear what's going on. And in verse 15, we see, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. All who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them. That's people that we know. You and I have people in our lives that we've probably shared Christ with, and they're wondering. They're just like on their own trying to figure this out, deciphering. Maybe they're praying. Maybe they're seeking God. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just rejecting. But more than likely, they're wondering. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. Look at this. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What should our response be? What should our response be to the birth of our Savior? What should our response be to the cross? What should our response be to the fact that man couldn't kill Jesus and keep him down, that he would raise again 3 days later? It started with a birth. But it ended in salvation. It ended in us having the opportunity to allow God to save us, for us to receive what he has for us. And for us today to think on that and to think, what's our response to that? Our response is the same response the shepherds was. What'd they do? They went and told. I mean, it was so good, they went and told. This week, some of us will get gifts that we're so excited about that we won't be able to shut up about them. We'll be talking about it, you know, we'll Facebook about it. I got this for Christmas. Oh, you know, nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. But I mean, just think about it. Like, you know, we get excited about that stuff. And oftentimes we miss getting excited about our Savior has saved us. We're not going to hell because of him. We know a relationship, what a relationship is with God the Father because of him. We were saved through his blood because of the cross. I mean, you want something to be thankful for. You want something to be excited about. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, this week for all of us, especially those of us that have family members that don't know Jesus, and we're going to hang out with people that we don't ever get to hang out with, but maybe just once or twice a year. Well, this is a great opportunity for us to not just show excitement about the trinket that we got in the stocking, but that we would be excited about what God is doing in our lives. I look around this room and I see stories of what God is doing in people's lives because many of you have shared them with me. I see some of you that have told me of stories where you're watching God work in somebody else's life right now and you're moved by that. We have an opportunity to share our story. And you know what? Nobody else can share it better than you can. It's yours. God gave it to you for a reason. Don't make excuses for it. It's yours. The shepherds, they went and told, but then what else did they do? They worshiped God. They wanted to give glory to God. You know, and it's so tempting for us in this world because we're prideful. This is where humility plays a big part of this. Because we're so prideful, it's so tempting for us, especially when we get to hanging out with people that we hadn't seen in a while, to want to share our accomplishments and go, look at what I did. And we're not even thinking about saying or sharing what God has done. And this week is another perfect week for us to take the opportunity to share about how God loved us and so much that he sent his son, and that through his death on the cross that we have a relationship with him and we have that peace. and things are crazy and our life is nuts and stuff is upside down half the time, but we still have the peace. We still have Jesus. Our response is to go and tell, and it is to worship God in everything that we do, that we would give glory to Him in every situation we possibly could, that we wouldn't take the credit for our accomplishments, but that we would look for ways to make Him famous in the eyes of others by saying, God did this. I can't claim it because He did it, and I'm thankful for it. That's our story. This morning, maybe you're here, maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. Let me just tell you, it starts with the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. It starts with God speaking to your heart. And maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, you know, I don't think that I've ever done this. And something's kind of going on in here and I kind of got the butterfly thing or whatever it is. Let me just let you know something. It's not because I'm a great communicator, because I'm not that great. That's God speaking to you, and you need to listen to that. If God is speaking to your heart this morning saying, come on, come on, run to Him, run to Him. So, Chris, I don't even know what to do with that. In just a second, when I leave the stage, myself and a couple other godly men that just love praying with people and talking with people will be on the other side of that wall in the hallway, just waiting for anybody that wants to talk about knowing Christ as their Savior. We'd love to get to talk to you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a believer, and you can say, Chris, I'm just convicted because I realize I'm not humble. I realize I have almost maybe no humility at times, and I'm very prideful. And I'm not thankful, and I'm not going and telling, and I'm not really worshiping God in everything I do. Listen, that's all up to you. God speaks to your heart. Do something about it. Nobody else can make you do anything. Nobody else wants to make you do anything. It's up to you to live a life of worship. Let's pray together. This morning, God, we're just thankful, Lord, for the birth of your Son. God, we're thankful, and God, I pray, Lord, that our response to that would be one to just give you glory in everything that we do. God, I pray our response would just be worship all the time. God, that we would be so grateful and thankful and excited about what you're doing in our lives, God, that we can't shut up about it. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use that in us this week as we spend time with friends and family that, God, need to hear your story in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we would share that with them. God, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection of Christ. God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for salvation. God, thank you for bringing salvation to this earth in the form of your Son, a baby boy laying in a manger. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. One last thing before I go this morning. I want to go ahead and offer a time right now for you to be able to pray over voting on the budget. And if you've prayed over that and feel good about your decision, go ahead and vote. And what I'm going to ask you to do, just as an act of worship, just kind of trusting in God, whichever you're feeling as members, I want you to go ahead and just bring those ballots down front. This is your time to do that. I encourage you to do that now. Thank you.